If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good morning.
I'm good.
You guys stayed dry yesterday?
Nope.
No.
We got pretty well hammered in Poway with that storm.
Parts of Poway.
Parts of Poway. Well, my house did. And
the nursery did.
The nursery certainly did.
Although it was interesting, I ended up driving into work late yesterday, and you could just see the rain coming down in sheets over, looked like Ramona, Santa Isabel area. I mean, just huge,
really?
Huge curtains of rain coming down out of the sky.
We got a little bit of rain in Sara Mesa, but it wasn't bad at all. I mean, I would have not, when you sent those pictures to, I was shocked. I'm like, where are you? I thought maybe you were in
some place where it rains.
Yeah.
So I was.
Yeah. Now you have to explain when you said those pictures.
Oh, well, just pictures of water running through his yard. Whatever.
So, well, back up a minute. did you get from the National Weather Service talked about flood warnings yesterday? And whenever I hear that, I'm always curious where those flood warnings apply to, whether it's the mountains, the deserts. I didn't know.
And right after we received those, I got a call from a friend up on Airmail Lane who wanted me to look, because, you know, that's what I do, and see if they needed to worry about flash flooding up in Ramona. And it didn't look like it, because it looked like it was dissipating as it was coming down from kind of Palomar and another one from Julian. I didn't think anything about my house.
However,
we got some significant rain in the south half of the
county.
Yeah,
you did.
There was the westbound lanes of 94, right where it starts and becomes a freeway, were closed due to flooding. And one of the local news stations reported that a truck came and hooked up its winch and took and cleared the car. I didn't know we used those anymore, but
great visual.
That's what they reported. And this is not the first time that they have reported that. The same station, I think they haven't figured out that there's two different words there. But I must have been somewhere between 6 and 12 inches of water running across the lower portion of my property. And the mulch that it picked up from my neighbors and my neighbor's neighbors and in my yard, and then it got filtered through the fence and kind of took the fence down between my neighbors and me.
Well, like I said yesterday, it's a good thing you weren't home.
Yes.
Yeah. This is where he was when we last saw him, officer.
Yeah, he was pushing the debris away from the fence so it wouldn't fall.
It is, you know, at first I was going to smirk at you for that, but it is totally true. I would have had my galoshes on and I'd have been down there trying to do something, and I would have been washed into the fence.
So some parts of the county got some significant rain.
I will be shutting off. Well, I have. I don't have to shut off my automatic sprinklers. I currently am my automatic sprinklers, but I won't need to turn anything on this week.
So some parts can keep their water off, but you know, like when I drove up to the house last night after work, it was dry. We had some sprinkles, and that's 6-7 miles from the nursery, which got a lot of water.
And I normally complain about that because I'm in the dry section, and everybody else gets rain, and I didn't get any, and now I get to complain that I have a lot of mulch to clean up and redistribute. And
but you can keep your water off.
And I can keep my water off. Yes, it's a good thing.
Yeah, so that if you were in an area that did get some rain yesterday, it would probably not be a bad idea to go and shut your sprinkler timers off for at least a week or so, I would say.
Well, apparently we got somewhere between a half an inch and an inch of rain in a little over an hour. And I guess it's got to go somewhere.
And your yard is just as good as anywhere else, I assume.
Yes, at least it didn't end up. The house at the end of the street, when this happens, they have a pool right where all the water accumulates. So now all the mud's in their pool. But I cleaned the mulch.
You kept the larger
debris
out.
The mulch is in my fence, so I did that for them. That's what neighbors are for, right?
You put the filter up for them. Yeah.
I think it was back in August. I think it was Melanie and I took a tour of the racetrack at Del Mar, and they were going over some of the history stuff. And I completely forgot about this, but it was in, I think it was in 1980 when we had all that really rainy. The fairgrounds flooded. They had 3 feet of water on the racetrack.
Wow. I don't even remember. I don't remember that either.
But there's pictures of it, and the whole track is completely underwater.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was right about that time that they stopped, because there used to be a tunnel under Pacific Coast Highway to get from the fairgrounds over to the beach, because they used to work the horses on the beach.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, it was that storm that blocked the tunnel, and that was the end of taking horses over to the beach to work. So yeah, because they said the trainers and the horses loved taking the horses over to the beach and letting the horses swim in the swim in the ocean and run around on the sand and everything. But yeah, that storm took out the tunnel, and that was the end of horses on the beach in Del Mar. So kind of a interesting
history
fact
story. I did not know that.
Lost these days.
I remember when that happened, and my recollection is just of the flooding of the horse park across the freeway from the racetrack. I think they had to evacuate the horses from there. I remember the flood plain or the floods hitting that area east of the racetrack, but I don't remember.
Yeah, see, I don't remember the flooding in Del Mar. I remember it in Mission Valley.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because
it was insane. Yeah,
yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. From like one side of the valley to the other side was just all water.
Yeah. It was like course. from Friars Road to Camino del Rio.
Correct.
It's one way to clean it out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, we do have classes in both stores at 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be Azaleas and Camellias. Do you know who's teaching?
I believe it's Olivia.
Olivia, that's right.
Yeah,
Olivia. You had mentioned that. So
Way to go. It's Olivia.
Well, because we hadn't decided.
He said, I believe it's Olivia.
No, but he corrected it.
You're absolutely right. But Olivia talked to me on Wednesday and said, who's doing the classes? Well, you are. I said, okay.
Don't you know?
That's the only reason it's definitive now.
Gotcha. Well done.
And in Poway at 9:30, we have a special guest is going to be coming in and teaching the class. Chuck McClung, former employee, published writer, is going to be teaching a class on creating a shade oasis in your yard. So that should be a very good class.
Chuck knows that he's doing his class, right?
He does know that. Yeah. We chatted yesterday again. Okay. He's going to bring some new books for us. He, as you said, a local author, he has the book on how to make orchids rebloom.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some more of those in stock for both stores.
Yeah, he is an interesting fellow.
And he's
very knowledgeable.
Got so much knowledge.
Correct.
Stocked up in there.
Yeah, very, very knowledgeable guy. So 9 o'clock in San Diego and 9:30 in Poway. Get there in San Diego especially. Get there early to get a parking spot. And you guys have coffee out now?
No, not yet. No, are you guys doing that
That's
now?
That's so sad.
Yeah. It's hard, yeah.
Yes, we
it's
are.
Terrible.
Okay. No. I don't know the proper COVID protocols, so we haven't.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. This is also the last weekend you can catch the Bromeliad show at the San Diego Botanical Garden. And I highly, highly recommend, if you're looking for something to do, go there and check it out, because it is amazing.
Do you know what else this is the last weekend for?
September.
Dang. Yes.
So yes, we do.
Yes. Okay. But I'm pumped.
Yeah, that was
sorry.
Loud.
Yeah, I was kidding.
Well, I didn't think you would know. I thought you would fall for my.
Well, David, I would have.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
They're a little.
Mark's here for me.
Yes.
All right.
So yeah. Anyway, the Bromeliad show at the San Diego Botanical Garden is definitely worth going and checking out. They did a spectacular job with that. Let's see.
I think Mary went back and saw it again this week, and she wanted to know what that special Bromeliad was that we had been mentioning.
And you couldn't remember.
I could. It was the variegated.
No, you can't.
Xerographica.
No, hieroglyphica.
Hieroglyphica, xerographica. Well, mine was a xerographica. You probably didn't see that one.
No, yes. I probably didn't.
It wasn't
there.
The variegated hieroglyphica, and I did take a picture of it, so I forwarded her the picture. I don't know if she saw it or not, but I did forward the picture.
Yeah, I don't know where. Next time I talk to John, I have to ask him where they came up with that, because it was a very rare plant.
If you would like, we could go up there this week, like just before the end of the show, and I could distract him / them, and you could put it under your jacket.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Abscond with it. No?
Not going to happen.
Okay.
That's what happened to the original one. So.
Seriously?
Yeah. The one that was in.
What is the? Is there a common name for this particular?
The one that was in Exotica.
It's a beautiful variegated.
Vericia hieroglyphica alba marginata.
But is there a common name for it?
No.
Okay.
It's a beautiful bromeliad. Yeah.
Bromeliad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Variegated. Which the non variegated one is probably my favorite bromeliad of all time. It's just a spectacular plant. But to find one that's got that variegation on the margins like that is incredibly rare. And there, when I was a kid, one of the books that I used to love to look through when I was at the nursery is a book called Exotica. And it's like Tropica, the reference book that we have at the nursery, but it's all in black and white. And there was a picture of a Vericia hieroglyphica alba marginata in there. And I remember asking Jeffrey Kent about it from Kent's Bromeliad Nursery, and he said, oh yeah, that was in a botanical garden in Germany, and somebody stole it, and then word on the street was they killed it. So,
somebody didn't pay ransom, so they offed.
No, I think I should correct myself. I don't think he said they killed it, but he said that the word on the street was that it had died, had perished. So.
The hieroglyphica has those interesting patterns in the leaves.
They kind of look like hieroglyphics.
And they kind of look like... I wonder if that has anything to do with its name.
It might. I don't know. It's a long shot, but it might. But yeah, in the wild, they'll get 4 feet in diameter. I mean, it's a spectacular plant.
And the big one that we have had that gets that big here was Vericia imperialis?
Imperialis, yes.
Yeah, they changed the name. It's...
That's all right.
It's like Alicantara or something like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's like the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah. See, when I first got into the business, there were only like three or four different bromeliads, but now
it's huge.
They've changed the names and expanded the species out quite a bit. So, yeah, because it was Ichneumon vericeus. Ichneumon vericeus.
Well,
the little short ones.
I can't think of that.
That's all right.
Yeah, there were only like three or four. Now there's a whole bunch of them. So, and then then
they changed the names of all the new names as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you know that bananas without a B are pineapples.
Yeah.
You know, I did not know that, but now that you say that.
It makes sense now, doesn't it?
That's my favorite bromeliad.
Is the banana without a B or anana?
Ananas, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, as much as pineapples are tied to Hawaii, they're not even close to being indigenous to the Hawaiian Islands. They were all imported over there over the years.
Like macadamia nuts.
Were they?
Like macadamias.
People think of Hawaii and...
I do.
You think of Hawaii?
I do.
I do as well, but they didn't originate there.
Chocolate-covered macadamia nuts.
Yes, especially Mauna Loa.
Exactly.
when Horak would come back from his yearly jaunt.
Or Nani.
Or Nani.
Nani brings them in.
He brings them to you as well?
Yeah. I don't eat them anymore, but I still like looking at them and thinking about them.
Every time I drive up and down my driveway and look at my macadamia, I think of chocolate. No, I really don't. I don't even think of Hawaii. I think of the darn rats that are eating my macadamia.
eating your macadamia nuts.
That's what I think of.
That used to be a huge problem. And how they get through those nuts is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Considering I can barely get into them.
No, it's the truth.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Just recently we got some, I would say, kind of sad news, just because there's so few independent nurseries left in San Diego anymore, but Evergreen Nursery got bought out.
I know. I heard that.
By Blue Moon. I drove by.
Blue Moon. Blue Moon?
Oh, no.
No. Moon Valley. Valley. Yeah. Moon Valley. Excuse me.
Yeah,
Moon Valley.
There's always some sort of musical name that Blue Moon or Moon River. Or something. I always get it wrong, too.
Moon Valley Nursery bought Evergreen Nursery out. Right. And it looks like they bought all three locations.
That's
when if you look at the website. The Evergreen site is down right now, and I actually drove by Carmel Valley or the Carmel Valley Road location yesterday, and it looks like they're still open for business as usual, but I don't know what they're going to do because Moon Valley's operation was completely different than what Evergreen was doing. So we'll have to see, but it's unfortunate. There's one less independent nursery.
That's true.
In San Diego now. So we wish them all the best. What else is going on? We got some. Oh, the fall decor is, I know in Poway it's in full swing right now. So if you're looking for stuff for your house or garden, now's a good time to come in and take a look at that.
You know, last time we talked about bulbs, the majority of them had not yet arrived.
No,
they?
But I was going to say we're fully stocked on them now.
Yes.
Did you guys? We still haven't gotten, I mean, unless we did yesterday, I don't know.
No. This is last week. We got the majority of what we were expecting in. But I did get an email, I think it was yesterday, from FedEx saying that something had shipped from Washington. So we should have it by midweek, whatever we're missing.
Right. I know that, well, we did too. I shouldn't say we didn't get, I know we didn't get everything, but we did get a lot of things. So we just don't have iris anymore. We have lots of different things. Ranunculus, freesias, all that
stuff.
Yeah,
ranunculus, freesias, a lot of the narcissus.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I did this past week?
What did you do this past week?
I purchased a fair number of bulbs from said bulb store in Poway, and I brought them home.
Which one?
The one in Poway, Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway, Danielson Court.
Yes.
And I grabbed them, took them home, and actually planted them in the ground. I don't know if you've ever done that, David.
You did what?
You bring them home, you go outside, you dig a hole, and you plant them. Is that something
the same day?
In the very same day.
Bring them home, leave them in the bag.
No, I have done that years ago, and that's why I was so adamant that these were going in the ground when I get home. Otherwise, they'd end up in the garage.
It's like, what's that bag over there? Oh, I remember that now. And you go to touch them, and
it looks like onion. It looks like the peelings off of an onion that you got. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I put them in the ground.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm proud of myself in this case.
What type did you get?
Some paper whites, some King Alfreds, and some freesias.
I didn't see King Alfreds. We got King Alfreds in.
Wait.
No, I take that back. They were the yellow, not the King Alfreds. They were yellow.
Well, they're King Alfred types. They're probably
the same. Yeah, but it's
California's. I think
perhaps
they do better for here. But it's a single trumpet,
right.
Yellow trumpet daffodil, which is
King Alfred.
Been called King Alfred type, but
yeah. So those
they're okay.
But in the ground, little
way
bone
to go.
Meal.
Way to go.
You know, it's amazing when you drive out to Julian in the springtime. They're everywhere. I mean, there's yellow daffodils growing along the side of the highway, all over Julian. But it wasn't that long ago that we used to sell bags and bags of daffodils to somebody in Julian.
They used to come down and pick up a few thousand at a time every year at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen them for years.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, we used to get King Alfred daffodils by that crate. I mean, and it was a wooden, it was like a 3 foot by 3 foot by 1 foot deep crate. I mean, they were huge crates, full of King Alfred daffodils. And that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
It's unfortunate.
We mentioned that last week, it takes patience to put those in.
Well, you know, the one thing that's nice about like the King Alfreds or the paper whites is you plant them deep, and I'm like 6 or 8 inches down. You don't ever have to take them out of the ground. You can leave them there, and then if you plant them at the bottom of annual color beds where you're changing out your annuals during the season. They're going to be one of the first things that comes up in the springtime is the daffodils or paper whites.
Correct.
Yeah, and you don't ever have to do anything. They're
the truth.
Kind of on cruise control there.
Yeah, the floodwaters did not wash my planted bulbs away. They were on higher ground, so they're safe.
You mean in the garage?
No, these are the ones I planted. But that
well
area,
played, Ken.
Just one quick note, that area where I showed you the picture of the fence that was knocked over, that's where the water slows down and the sediment accumulates. And it croaked I used to have an orange tree right there. And it built up the soil underneath it over the years would happen.
Girdled it?
And it girdled it. And I noticed it wilting a few years ago. And so what do you do when you see a tree wilting?
Well, you gave it more water, obviously.
I watered it. It still didn't help, so I watered it more until it was completely dead. And then I realized there was about 6 inches of sediment that had built up on the trunk and rotted.
But that, I mean, that's a good segue into other things. But, that happens a lot. People don't realize it. And things do build up over time, debris and just leaf litter and stuff like that that gets under your bushes and shrubs and things die slowly.
Yeah.
And then, keep them clean.
You know, you misdiagnose it and you compound the problem.
Correct. I mean, you do exactly what you shouldn't do. But that's what I tell people, everybody that comes in. A lot of times people overwater things because they see a yellow leaf, so they assume it's just not getting enough water. It's like, well, that's not always the case, you know.
Until they drown the plant?
Correct.
Kill a lot of plants with excess love.
That's it. That's killing them with kindness.
You know, that's
that should be a band name.
That's the thing about orchids and staghorns.
Yeah,
people baby them to death.
Right, and again, not that they're, I mean, yeah, they'll need a little bit of care.
No, they need a little bit of care. There's no doubt about that. But man, both of those are orchids and staghorn ferns are two of the toughest plants.
Correct.
When you look at where they grow naturally, it's just amazing. So, we tend to.
And so when you're a lazy gardener, you can get away with this because I have a beautiful staghorn underneath a California pepper that was a small little cutting. Yeah, my hand is up with like a 3-inch diameter circle, little cutting that's probably three and a half feet wide right now. And I water it like when I I probably should give that some water. And that could be 3-4 weeks. Go down there and give it some water.
That's the truth.
And it's thriving.
And the bigger the mass, once they begin to develop mass, the less often you have to water them because that whole mass stores water.
Right.
Right.
They take care of themselves.
Oh, the one we have in the tree, the elm tree in the back, I mean, that thing is, remember we put that, or you put that there? Was it you that did that?
I don't think so.
Oh, God. Oh, maybe it was JP or something. I mean, it was like.
You let somebody else put a staghorn in your tree?
No, I thought there were only two people in Walt Anderson authorized to touch staghorns.
The one in the receiving area. No, I don't think I did. But I think
it was JP, but that thing's got to be, I mean, it's huge. Huge. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody water it. I'm sure it gets watered.
Well, I don't know that the big ones in Poway get water.
They do.
When they don't, you can tell.
Right.
I mean, for an extended period of time.
Right.
But they tell you, they show their signs of needing water. You water them and they come right back.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah, they do.
So I thought your dad, Ken, Walter, and David were the only two authorized staghorn fern surgeons at the nursery.
Yeah. That's true now.
That's an...
Well, actually, Olivia helps Walter today.
Yeah.
She's gotten... she's in charge of that now.
Yeah. Well, she does. I was going to say, Rich...
Oh, Richie, yeah.
Rich used to do it. And then and Katie did quite a bit of it,
That's
too.
True, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, back in the days gone by.
Back in the day. I was wandering through the store yesterday, and I noticed in the houseplant department in Poway, we've got some nice coffee plants in.
Oh,
for the first time.
I was going to say, I don't
in,
think
in
we,
a while.
We, I haven't seen any in a while.
The ones we had some that were about 3 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
And it's size. And regardless of the fact that it's a coffee plant, it's a nice looking plant.
It's a beautiful plant. It's a really pretty plant.
Glossy green. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's pretty easy to grow as well.
And just for the record, harvesting the beans off of a tree and popping them out of their skin and chewing on them is not a pleasant experience.
I remember. Was it like eating an uncured olive?
I don't know. It's just, yeah.
I have a bowl full of the fruit that I'm supposed to be roasting, and I haven't gotten to it yet. See how it turns out.
Well, my first experience with coffee plants is one you used to have back in the day in your backyard there. Remember? That thing was huge.
It's still there, but I don't think it's alive.
Oh, okay, well. Yeah.
Then is it really there?
It doesn't make a sound if it falls, I don't think, but I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah. It was. Well, yeah. Past tense, apparently.
Do you remember that? That came from Pacific Tree Farms when he was unwinding, when he was done way back in the... I'll have to look. I think it... Well, it might have something to do with sprinklers and irrigation.
It could
and
be.
Manual and not.
Right.
They like water, I hear.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk on here, KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking about coffee before the break, and you know, as beautiful a plant as it is, and they will flower and produce beans, but if you think you're going to be able to grow your own coffee supply, probably not going to happen.
Not what a certain musician and farmer in our North County would say to you.
Farmer. Well, yeah. It's like your backyard gardener guy isn't going to
One plant's not going to give you...
Yeah,
you
one plant in the corner of your living room is not going to supply you with coffee for the rest of your life.
But
how much were they selling the Mraz coffee for at the La Jolla something coffee shop in Bird Rock?
$200 a pound?
It was. I think it was more than that.
Really?
Yeah, it was. I'll look it up while we go on to something else, but I'll get back to you on that. It was a significant amount, and they sold out very quickly.
That's amazing.
It really is.
I mean, I like coffee. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
yeah, like the next guy. But
$200 a pound.
Not that kind of coffee.
Not that kind of coffee.
Well, it better be laced with something.
But that got me to thinking yesterday, seeing the coffee plants in the store. So I went out and walked through the camellia section, and we have
4 ounces was $199, and they are sold out.
Four ounces. So that would be.
Multiply it by four.
That's $800 a pound.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
If you can get that, that's a good gig.
Yeah, that's no kidding.
Maybe that pays for the water.
Maybe you can.
Just about.
that covers the water.
Yeah.
But it is locally grown, which is kind of neat.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, now you may continue.
I was going to say, walking through the camellia section, I noticed we have tea camellias in stock. It's actually Thea sinensis, or camellia sinensis.
Right.
Which is actually a pretty, if it doesn't have salt burn on it, it's a pretty neat looking plant. Yeah.
If it's not ugly, it's neat looking?
I have a few, and I think they're gorgeous plants. And they flower. The camellia flower that's on there is much, much smaller.
Right.
Yeah, it's about the size of a 50 cent piece, somewhere around there.
Have you
white.
Made any tea?
I do.
Green tea.
I've never done the black because you have to oxidize it and all that. But the green, I just let it dry for a day or two and make green tea, and it works quite well.
I would assume you do not like tea, period.
No, I like tea.
Yeah.
I probably like tea better than coffee. It's just that coffee is so much easier
to deal with.
It's always.
It's ready.
It's like lunch meat. It's always ready.
Yeah. Doesn't.
It's the truth. Yeah. I like tea also, but I'm not going to. I'd rather just coffee.
Does it
quick.
Taste good?
Tea?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So tea with a little bit of bee barf in it. Yeah, that's really good.
Okay. Well, if you put enough stuff on it, any.
No, it's fine. It's fine without it. I used to drink iced tea like crazy.
I like green tea a great deal.
No, unsweetened. Yep. No, I never got. Never got sweet tea. No,
I would like
a sweet guy. I mean,
a sweet tea. I would liken the taste of tea, I think, to how you enjoy the taste of beets. They're just kind of like
you don't
dirt
like
or
it.
No. I think it's.
So it's, when we say that, are you speaking of black tea or green tea or any tea in general? Because there are differences in flavor.
I'm sure he only. It's just tea.
Just that's all tea.
It doesn't matter which tea.
It's all tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And unless you put a ton of honey in it, I think you called it something different, but we'll go with honey. Or you make it taste like something. Else, which is just then it's water with some sweeteners in it, until you make it totally something else, it's not that exciting.
I would disagree.
Yeah, I would too. But
especially, okay. especially, please.
Yeah. And then out in the herb section, as I was wandering around yesterday, we still have 1 5-gallon yerba mate available, which my youngest son Blake. He loves yerba mate.
So does mine.
He just thinks it's awesome.
Same with Thomas.
So yeah. So I bought him the gourd and the bombilla or whatever it is. The whole yerba mate. The whole yerba mate kit. Because there's a whole thing you do to make it.
Yeah.
And so he made some up, and now that I will tell you tastes like dirt.
Okay.
I'm not
because it didn't have bee honey in it.
Well, it's
or
bee
honey
vomit.
Honey.
It's bee vomit.
Yeah. It did not. Well, it didn't do any. He loves it, but no.
Thomas makes kombucha, which I mean, but he likes the yerba mate and all that stuff.
Well, Blake got into the whole kombucha thing for a while too, and man, once you see how they make it, you don't ever want to drink it.
Well, yeah. No. I
says
don't.
The man who was talking about lunch meat being available at any time.
Yeah. Well, no, it was.
Who doesn't like a good lunch meat?
Yeah.
I remember way back in the day when they used to have the Del Mar Grand Prix up at the racetrack.
Right.
They were getting ready to run the feature one year, and one of the drivers in the GP prototypes, which was the feature race, was a race car driver named Willie T. Ribbs. He was the first African American ever to qualify at Indianapolis.
Oh wow!
And this was before that happened. And they were going down the starting line, and they were interviewing all of the drivers. And they stopped by, and they asked him, and said, "Willie, are you ready for this race?" And he said, "I'm like lunch meat. I'm always ready."
I will
never forget that. It was pretty cool. And I think that was the same year that he qualified at Indianapolis. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go down to Chula Vista where Suzanne has been waiting. Good morning, Suzanne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Glad to hear you on the radio again.
Well, thank you very much. What can we do for you?
I have 3 huge white pomeria trees, and I have clay soil, and the leaves are yellowing. And I just recently did put some pine needles around them, and I drip water them. so that they get the soil. But I don't know if I should put, but anyway, the leaves are yellowing. It's more on the north side than the south side.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's the end of the season for.
It sounds like if they're huge trees, it sounds like you're doing everything right. So I wouldn't really change much.
But they've never been this yellow before.
This soon.
And I know the leaves are. You've even said to pick them off at, like in December or so.
Well, they theoretically will fall off. You shouldn't even. I mean, you can certainly go out and pick them if you want to, but.
How long has it been in the ground?
Yes.
Oh, maybe 30 years.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't worry about it at all. It is possible that it may have needed a little bit more water sometime during these last month when we had some of the heat and it got a little bit of sunburn.
Right.
But did you get any rain yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry about it. Shut off your sprinklers and the cool nights are going to shut them down very soon. The nights are already beginning to cool. So the moisture that's in the soil from yesterday's rain should be all that they will need to carry them through till the end of the year and into next year.
Okay, so I don't water them that often, and then I don't water from November to spring.
You're onto it.
That sounds about right. Right.
Yep. Sounds like you're doing everything right.
And if you've kept,
I hope so. I love these trees like my children.
No, you know, if they've been in the ground for 30 years and you haven't killed them yet, I think you're doing everything right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Suzanne. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a pretty impressive track record.
Create problems. Yeah. No, to keep
plumerias alive in clay soil for 30 years, you've got it dialed in. You know what you're doing.
Do you know what I would submit to you? That the clay soil isn't as clay
possibly.
As we might think because they have not rotted out during the winters down there. But that's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's on it.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go back to Chula Vista where Alan's been waiting. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Morning, guys. Doing good. Well, it's fun to listen to you guys on Saturday morning.
Well, thank you.
I heard you talking last week toward the end of the show about Farmer Roy, and I think he was at the nursery last week, wasn't he? One of the nurseries?
That is correct. He was in the
He's been in
store.
A couple of times in the last week I've seen
him.
Taught a class last Saturday, yes.
Yep.
Right, and I just couldn't make it. I was so disappointed, but I wanted to ask if his operation, it's a rest home, isn't it?
It's a memory care facility.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes.
Is it open for people in the public just to come and see his operation?
No. Not right now with ongoing COVID situation. They don't want extra people coming on the property. But just outside the property is a community garden that you might be able to visit. But if you want to... I'll check with him this week and give us a call next week and I'll let you know. Or call me up at the nursery. This is David. Call me at the nursery in Poway during the week and I'll see if you can visit the community garden off the, you know, at the edge of the property.
Oh, that'd be great. And it's in Poway, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know the name of the facility?
It is Cadence at Poway Gardens. And it is right near, kind of behind
near the hospital,
Pomerado Hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. There's another facility down in National City. I haven't checked that out. It's been on KPBS. It's some kind of an educational facility for children. It's called Olivewood Gardens. And we've been by the place, and I just kind of glance as we go by, never stop to really see what's going on. But they have some kind of a gardening operation to teach children how to do it.
Yeah, that's one I'm not familiar with. I know there's another one that's off of Pomerado Road. At one of the schools.
Well, Abraxas has an excellent program.
Tremendous program going there.
Yeah, and I noticed some of the schools down here in the South Bay are doing it also, like a couple of elementaries. They have a garden on the property. And I think it's probably for teaching kids because it's not open to anyone else. But anyway, those are interesting operations, especially for children.
Yes, they are. I think it's a great start to give kids
understandings of
what's going on.
And also the delayed gratification. You know, it's especially in today's society where everything has to be right now, getting kids into planting a garden and watching the progression and being able to harvest at the end of the season is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a neighbor next door that's a high school teacher, and he got one of those little kits from Home Depot or someplace. It's like it's on 2x4 legs, and it's a little planter, and he's been working with his kids on it. And so it's just interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a very very wholesome activity for kids to get
Correct.
Into.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I'll call you next week, and...
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We are, now that we are in fall, we are in full swing for fall vegetables. As a matter of fact, Mel and I were walking around last week, walking through the vegetable section, and the color pack sugar snap peas already have edible fruit on them, edible pea pods.
Did you harvest any?
Yeah, we did.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, peas are a winter crop. They're super easy to grow. They grow like weeds, and they're incredibly good. I mean, just go yeah, pick them right out of the,
yep, the truth.
Pick them right out of the garden and eat them. But also the other thing that you can plant right now too is sweet peas for the spring, and we have our little mix of sweet peas that we've been
selling, early multifloras
that we've been selling. Well, yeah. I actually won an award at the Mission Valley Garden Show with those back in the 1960s. Got my picture in the paper. And
really?
Yeah.
If yeah. I recall correctly, at the Mission Valley Shopping Center where the yeah. dragon hanged, used
where
to hang.
Where the dragon used to be. Yeah. And that giant copper fountain.
Yes.
Which is now all sadly gone as well. But yeah, if you want to plant sweet peas, now is the time to get them going as well.
Correct.
We're going to run down to Chula Vista where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you. What's up?
I have a plot in the Sweetwater Community Garden in Bonita. Earlier this year, I grew sweet corn, and when I was harvesting it, of course, I had some corn borers. So now I've got the glass drum dent corn growing for the fall, and it's just starting to tassel, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to prevent the corn borers from getting to my glass gem corn.
You know, I grew corn this year for the first time in a long time, and when it started to tassel, I went out and I sprayed spinosad on them, and I didn't have any problems with them. I had some issues with kernel production because the pollination wasn't that great, but I didn't have any problems with corn earworms on it, and that was just, and I just went out and sprayed the tassels with spinosad, and that seemed to I'm assuming that's what did it, because it, I didn't have
yeah
any
it's
problems
listed
with it.
if you read the integrated pest management, it speaks about spinosad or BT.
BT, and right. Then the other thing that
as
people,
a dust though for the BT
well people used to use mineral oil too.
Right.
Back in the day,
as they like to say.
Yeah, do you have BT dust at Point Loma? Because do we have any BT dust?
We had it a while back. I've not seen it lately.
You know, I was thinking about BT dust, and it reminded me of what we used to sprinkle. Do you remember the dust we used to sprinkle on the tassels of corn for earworms?
Chlordane?
Well, I no, seven.
Seven. Oh, seven.
Seven, you know, right.
Used to be great, and now it isn't.
Yeah, I would use Spinosad or BT on them. Just spray the tassels, and I think that should take care of it for you.
And you're saying tassels, not the silk.
Or the silks, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we're talking about the same thing. We're using different words, but yeah, we're talking about the same thing.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I really enjoy your show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
And speaking of IPM, IPM actually does speak about mineral oil, still using it. If you put a few eyedropperfuls just as the silk or tassels start coming out,
yeah,
that
could
be effective
as well.
Yeah,
that just doesn't seem – I find it amazing that it's that effective when you can just go with a spray bottle of Spinosad and give it a shot, and it's going to stick around for a while because –
It's translaminar, don't you know?
He loves.
Yeah, you have to set him up.
I do like being teed up for that softball.
Yes. There. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you want to just quickly or slowly say UCIPM and remind people what that is?
University of California. That's a cooperative extension, integrated pest management.
Very useful
site.
The amount of information that they have on that site is mind-boggling. We agree with
most of it, which makes it
even
better.
For the most
part,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good go-to. What I noticed is that the three callers we've had are from Chula Vista. Are we only broadcasting south?
That might be where the tower is. I'm not sure.
Well, I know it's not in Ohio.
Are they listening?
I haven't. Yeah, I got my phone off, but I'm assuming they're listening.
Okay.
Oh, I saw something cool out in the native plant section. For some reason now I always try to keep an eye on what's going on in the native plant section because there's some neat stuff that comes through there every once in a while. We had some Penstemon Baccarifolius Diablo Red. And you look at the flower and you say, okay, yeah, that could be a Penstemon. But you look at the foliage, it looks like a giant Baccharis. It doesn't look anything like a Penstemon at all.
So it is a kind of an oaky leaf?
Kind of an oaky-looking leaf, kind of an ovoid leaf with serrated edges to it. They call it Diablo Red. It's not really red. It's more of a dark pink. But it's a pretty neat-looking plant. I was surprised. I guess if somebody had told me it was a Penstemon, I would have said, you're crazy.
I am so proud of you, Mr. Anderson.
What?
Getting out to the native section and talking positively about them. I'm tearing up.
Because they for so long, the only natives that were available were nothing. I mean, if it wasn't a Toyon or if it wasn't a
Roos
or Fremonodendron, I mean, they just... Yeah.
Let's not leave out Ceanothus.
But even at that, I mean, there
lush,
there were only
glossy
like,
green
but there
leaves.
There were only like two or three.
Yeah, one upright, one down, and one in the middle. Do we need any more Ceanothus than that?
Well, we have a lot more than that.
I know that.
I mean,
there's a growth habit for every situation.
They're beautiful plants.
I agree.
It's like the manzanitas.
Exactly.
I had no idea that there were that many manzanitas. If you go look. If you want to see what's available as far as native plants are concerned, go to the Moosa Creek Nursery website and look at what they grow. It's
staggering. They have a lot.
It is staggering how much stuff they grow.
But this is a perfect segue because next Saturday in Poway at 9:30, we're having a class on native plants.
Are we really?
We are. Hosted by Shirley.
All right.
Who is our native, I call her the native plant goddess. She knows a ton about native plants.
She probably knows more than I, probably forgotten more than I know.
She knows a lot. Yeah. So it's going to be a good class a week from today at 9:30.
And she always brushes up on her native plant knowledge out on the trails.
Right. Well, and she brushes up from us sending her stuff when we're on the trails.
If I see something I don't recognize,
I'll shoot her a picture.
Me too.
Yeah.
There's definitely something to be said for that.
But yeah, Moosa Creek grows just an unbelievable amount of stuff, and we carry a large fraction of what they grow. But
anybody can go to Moosa Creek Nursery's website and look at what they show available on their retail availability, and they can order them on their website to be picked up at either of our locations. So correct. Anything that's on there, if you're looking for something in particular, can be procured.
And paid for at the store when they pick
yes.
it up.
You just
right.
pick,
and we do stock some of their stuff.
I mean, a lot of them.
A lot of it, but not all.
We did quote a Beeler Creek restoration project that they had everything that they needed.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour next Saturday at 6 o'clock. We look forward to joining you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.